And there was something about him that caused them to just get up and leave their nets. Now, there's other details given in other Gospels, but to them, that was really how it happened. You know, there were other things said, like, I think about before I received the Holy Ghost, the Gospel was preached to me, and there were, a lot of things were said. Just a couple things stuck in my mind as the things that rang over and over again. This is what righteousness is. If you don't perform it, then your sin remains. James and John and Andrew and Peter all being called here. And then he goes to the synagogue and he's teaching. He teaches with authority because he knew something. There was something greater that had been given him, a gospel to preach. There's authority there. You have to be this way. This is how it is. Let me tell you all about it. Because the other ones teach, oh, well, Father so-and-so said, and in the in this tongue it says blah, 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 and some people say this, and some people say that, and, you know, sometimes I've even been given to that because the human element is always hedging its bets. And the Lord doesn't teach it like that. He teaches it as things are, as they ought to be, he teaches. Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Anon. I always think of that as like, oh, and on, and on, and on. No, it really means immediately. Right away they told him that she was sick. Verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought to him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed of devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of the diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffer not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. What about unclean spirits? We talk about, you know, devil possession. It's such a kind of a, Hollywood has done a lot of movies and we have a lot of ideas about what this is. And I am no expert on these things. All I know is what I read about them. Is mental illness devil possession? Now, most people think of devil as being, well, there's an alternate personality or something. But I certainly think that if mental illness or some kinds of mental illness are related to demonic possession, to devils, there can be weak and there can be strong. There can be personified devils, or they can be devils that are unpersonified. And maybe the devils only speak because they do know him. They know Christ immediately. And maybe they don't show themselves to people. Meaning, you know, you go to some psychiatrist from some horrible mental illness or something, and they try to figure out what's going on. Right? But it's something that's hiding, undetectable. And they scan their brain and they say, well, there's something going on with their brain. But they can't detect something that's beyond detection. You know, these things are not always seen or understood. What I'm trying to say is that man is so arrogant. We think that, okay, there's a material world, right? We can see it, we can smell it, we can taste it, we can touch it, we can hear it. And then the materialists, and many people without knowing it, are materialists, as they think that that's all there is. All there is the visible world. And even our thoughts are the products of, that our consciousness of our mind arises from the brain. The brain itself is the seat of consciousness. Or not even the seat, it is the consciousness itself. Whereas I would say it's more like the seat. It is what consciousness sits on, and consciousness affects it. But it does not itself create the consciousness. It does not create the being. And that other than being, there are other things that be, that are spirits. You know, in the Old Testament, we see scenes where on the right hand and on the left are gathered all the spirits in heaven, and there are evil spirits on the left, and there are good on the right, and they're proposing from the left on how to deceive a certain man, King Ahab, it happens to be. And they say, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. I mean, one spirit can go into several prophets and be a lying spirit without them even realizing it. Because there are different levels of devilishness, different levels of demonic possession, so to speak. And I don't think of it as these demons with big hairy backs and red skin and horns and a pitchfork. But it is a spiritual power that, in the modern times we snuff at it, but we don't realize the degree to which many are infected by it. Evil spirits, evil thoughts. Because a spirit is sort of an alive thing that is very difficult to describe, because we always think of things in terms of touch, taste, see, hear, feel. And we never consider that, there could be things beyond our senses. That if we had one more organ on the top of our head, we had like a little organ sticking up, we could detect things. Have another kind of sight. Another kind of taste. Something other than smell. How do you even describe something other than the smell? Imagine if you had no smell. How would you understand it? Just like blind people could understand how all of us see things, but they don't see anything, and they don't even understand what sight is. Those who are born blind, and trying to understand what it is to see things. Or what sounds sound like to the deaf. Now, with so many people around you who also see it, they can get a lot of description. But what about things that men don't see? What about things that men aren't allowed to delve into, like demonic spirits? Devilish ideas and spirits like that, who can tell?